Verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. The image there is to be conformed to the image of Christ is God's predetermined will for every believer. What we go through in life is to shape us and mold us and make us after the image of Christ. In 1 Peter 1, in verse 3 through 9, I'm going to turn and read that. 1 Peter 1, in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we're born anew spiritually with a living hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Referring to the completion of our salvation, when we get a new body, when we get our reward, when we go home to be with the Lord, that is the completion of our salvation. Verse 6 says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So this, God allows the circumstances of life to mature us and make us into what he wants us to be. They burn away impurities. We are often driven to prayer. We're often driven back to the straight and narrow path if we've gotten astray by the circumstances of life that we go through in God's dealing. Now, we know life's like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Our life is like a puff of smoke. It's just here for a few years and then it's gone. We see our time's limited to do the job that God wants us to do, and our lives are given to us as a gift from God. He wants us to enjoy marriage, enjoy children, enjoy your home, enjoy doing the work of the Lord, enjoy your church, and walk with God and abstain from sinful things. Isaiah speaks of being prepared for a flood to come by famine, by planting by the rivers of water. And the emphasis there is a farmer might have a farm that's 5 miles from the river, but what he should do is go to the river and plant another area near the water so that it will be there in case he has devastation and famine where his place is. And that is a backup or a benefit. Now, one writer suggests that this verse 1 and 2 is referring to sending grain in ships. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7, also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. The idea of farmers sending their grain to other ports to sell, they would put it on ships. And in that day, they didn't have radios and telegraph and all that, so it'd be months before the ship could get to a port and sell the grain and then come back with the news of how good they had done. And the suggestion is to separate your loads to 7 or 8, not to one ship where if it went down in a storm, you'd lose everything that you had. Because one of the first things they would do when you read the Bible, you learn of a couple of times where in great storms, they cast out everything that was in the ship, trying to keep the ship afloat. They would throw away the cargo and try to keep the ship from sinking. Now, these merchant ships carried loads of grains to faraway ports, and they could make a good profit by taking it to other countries. But they must wait. There had to be faith involved. They had to wait for the news to come back. There was faith to put it on the ship that they would get their supply and get their pay. Today, that emphasis is still used by investment companies, which teach you the old adage, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Spread your money around in a mutual funds and things. Don't bet on one thing for the market, because if the market goes south, there's other ways that you won't lose money if you don't have it all in one fund. And so that makes good sense in investing for your future. It's also suggested that God intends us to be benevolent, to be helpful, to give to others, and be generous to the poor and the needy. In Proverbs 21:3, the Bible says we must not shut our ears to the cry of the poor. And as families, we have to prepare to help our children in the future. And we don't want to be dependent on other people. Like Sue said, one day you'd like to be able to retire. So that means you've got to make plans and preparations for that. I've sat down and figured up, in the event if I ever got ready to retire, I've sat down and did a budget and figured up, tried to account for every dime I spend, for everything that is a monthly bill, yearly bill, occasional bill, doctors, gasoline, insurance, taxes, utilities, all that sort of thing. And my wife and I need about $48,000 a year just to survive and just to pay our bills. And that's not a big house payment or anything. Matter of fact, that's no house payment at all. We live in a double-wide mobile home, and it's been paid for a good many years. And I would like to say we own our land, but York County gets a bill every year for our land. You know, we have to pay tax on it. And every one of you have the similar situations to face. And so that means you got to put something aside. You got to be prepared. You've got to try to not live frivolously so that you spend everything coming in. I've met many people that come to the church looking for help who can't manage money, and they spend their paycheck every week, and they don't prepare for something to come along that was unexpected, like a car breakdown or something of that nature. But we know if you're going to drive an automobile, sooner or later, it's going to have some maintenance issues. It's going to need tires. There's little things that can happen, and sadly, there's some big things that can happen. And so you've got to have preparation for these things. So we've got to lay up a portion instead of having foolish spending and wasting our substance as the prodigal did. He wasted his substance in riotous living. He lived high on the hog, as the old expression used to be, partied and wasted his money, and then he didn't even have the ability to eat. He took a job with a Gentile slopping hogs. You say, how you know it was a Gentile? Because it was forbidden for Jews to have hogs. You know, that's unclean animal to them. And so he was slopping hogs, and he even was tempted to eat the slop that he was feeding to the hogs. You got to be pretty hard up and hungry to do that. Most time that stuff soured and stinks. And so then he thought, you know, the people that work for my father make a good living. He takes care of them. They have plenty to eat. And here I am, you know, begging, about to starve to death. So he went home and asked his forgiveness of his father. And his father received him greatly and killed a fatted calf. Well, God expects us to prepare, and we can enjoy life, and we should enjoy the journey with God. In verse 3 through 6, remember, God has a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. So in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, and verse 1 through 11, we saw, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Time to be born, a time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted. And it gives a long list there through those 11 verses that God has set everything in its order and a time for everything under heaven. He expects us to recognize there are many uncertainties in life. He expects us to work hard and believe by faith that God will prosper us and bless us if we're faithful to labor. We shouldn't look at the clouds to determine whether we're going to work in the yard or not, determine whether we're going to plant or harvest. If we do that, then it will easily keep us from doing it. I went to a ball game for the church this year during the softball league season, and it was over here in Fort Mill at Dobie's Bridge Road. And Joy and I went by the bypass, and we ran, and I mean the dark clouds were so heavy. I said, I don't even know why we're driving over there. I know it's going to get rained out. This is about the bottom's about to fall out, you know. And I'm 70 years old, you know, and I've seen a lot of clouds. I'm a pretty good judge at that. And so we went over and pulled up in the parking lot and about got out with our chairs and went and sat down anyway. And they played ball. I looked up. Clouds just kept going black as they could be, and they just kept right on going. They never dropped a drop of rain that I saw. And then you see, if we'd counted on those looks of those clouds, then they wouldn't have played ball. We wouldn't have gone. Nothing would have happened. But because we went ahead and weren't dependent on what it looked like, then I don't know that God was that interested in our team getting to play ball that day or what. But, you know, it didn't rain anyway, and looking at the clouds didn't keep us from doing it. There's an old adage, don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today. And that's still a very wise saying. When you need to do something and you got opportunity, you best go ahead and do it, because nobody knows what a day is going to bring forth. Tomorrow you may not have the opportunity, and the next day something else may come along. If we worry over wind and rain and clouds and trees falling, we won't be able to make a living. And we won't be living by faith, trusting the Lord to provide for us and care for us. And we certainly won't get very much done if we allow the wind and the clouds to keep us from working outside. Remember to enjoy your day with the Lord and give Him praise for all the good things that you have. Never forget, no matter how bad things get, never forget that God loves you. And God wants what's best for you. And you can always remind yourself that He gave His Son to die on Calvary for you and to pay for your sins and my sins. And that He has demonstrated His love already. So we should never question, well, does God care? Does God love me? Yes, He loves you. Yes, He cares. He's already proven that in what He has done for us. One old preacher wrote that he lived for the Lord day by day and said his parents kept him straight, Mother Nature and Father Time. And that's his parents, you know. And they will make a difference of keeping you straight, Mother Nature and Father Time. But the Lord is able to bless us. We do become limited in our abilities as we grow older. But it doesn't mean we still can't get some things done. We just have to learn to work at a pace that we don't wear ourselves out. In verse 10, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. We have to become one who is mature in our decisions and our actions. Put away childish things. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And as Christians, that's an important principle to remember, so that we put away childish things and concentrate on those things that will please God and will be of benefit not only to us, but to our family and others as well. Now we enter into chapter 12, with the emphasis here. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened. Solomon has reminded us to rejoice in our journey with the Lord. He's reminded us to remove evil from our lives. He's reminded us to remember the privileges that we are given carry with them certain responsibilities. In chapter 12 and verse 1, he tells us to remember, when you had the strength of your youth, then remember God. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember that you may think you have the strength to do anything and everything you want to, but you better always give God thanks and praise for the strength that you have, because he might let you fall on your face some just to show you who's actually in charge. We should live for him and enjoy our journey. And Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. That should be a thought in our mind, that one day we're going to die and one day we're going to stand before God. And so it's important that that guide us in discretion of how we live and how we're prepared to face the Lord and possibly face death. You may have some dark days to experience that God will use in your life. I worked as a child, worked on a farm at 12 years of age and a gas station as a teenager. The year I turned 16, I drove a school bus during the school year. And that summer, I worked all summer for Coca-Cola. I was the boy on the truck that hauled in all the crates of drinks and took out all the empties and put them on the truck, you know. And I made a whopping $1.10 an hour minimum wage in that day. And I got a job at 17 working in the paper tube factory, second shift my senior year of high school. And I got bumped up to $1.20 an hour. And I worked 40 hours a week. And then sometimes we'd work over on Saturday 8 hours. And so I had 48 hours. I got 8 hours overtime. I still didn't make $100 if I worked all that time, you know. And time has changed today from those days. And that hadn't been, to me, it doesn't seem like it's been that long ago, you know. And so then all of you know my story, how the day I graduated from high school, I was already enlisted in the Marines and wound up at Parris Island. Dumbest thing I've ever done in my life, in June, July, and August. Parris Island is not as hot as Vietnam, but there were days it was 105 degrees at Parris Island. And we were in military training, so that made it tough. But God was very merciful. He allowed me to come home from the military and survive in Vietnam and get married and get saved. And I look back and see all these things that God has had a plan in my life, even when I didn't have any idea where I was going and exactly what was going to happen a year from now or 2 years from now or what. And when God burdened my heart to be in the ministry after he'd been so kind to save me, I was scared, but I was anxious to serve the Lord, so I gave up a career job and went to Bible college and started over. Y'all know how that went. But life is a school that we learn lessons from, and all of this is in our youth before the days come when we may not have the ability to do those things. Jacob's down there tonight having a physical activity with the teenagers. He's been here to church today. He came in here and moved his communion table back and his speakers back by himself. Didn't even tell me about it. And he's young. He can do a lot of things that me and Pete can't do. And we used to do them. We were willing to help do them, but we can't do what he can do at his age. And weakness begins to set in. Verse 3 through 8. Life is a stewardship that God's given us. And we need to use it for his honor and his glory. And while we're using it for his honor and glory, you know what he'll do? He'll supply your living and your pleasure and your rejoicing at the same time. Now, in this passage, you can't help but notice, if you read through it and think about it, that it resembles certain things of your body. In verse 3, the days where the keepers of the house tremble, your arms and your legs, when you get old, they're not as sturdy as they once were. They don't work as well. I've got arthritis in both my hands. I sometimes have trouble. I have to hook a water bottle like this in my hand to open it. I can't do like this and open it anymore. Arthritis in my thumbs and arthritis in my fingers and that sort of thing. Now, I'm not trying to say that I'm so feeble I can't do anything. You better watch me. I can do a lot of things yet. But I'm limited now because of my age and my health. My arms and my hands don't work like they once did, and neither do my legs. I can't run any foot races, and I have a hard enough time. If I have to park, like if I go to the VA hospital in Columbia and I have to park in one of those other parking lots and walk back to go into the hospital, by the time I get to the door, you know, I almost need a wheelchair to wheel me in or stop on a park bench and get my breath, you know, because I've given myself out walking there because my arms and legs aren't as strong as they used to be. Verse 3 says, and the grinders cease. That's your teeth, you see. When you get old and you don't have any teeth, you're missing teeth. They don't work as good. My dentist told me, he said, I can probably patch your teeth up. Now, he told me this 10 years ago. He said, I can patch your teeth up for another 10 years. That's all you got left anyway. He said, but at the time, he said 20. And he said, because I can make you a partial and you're not going to wear it. And he said, I can put implants in, but he said, that's extremely expensive. So he said, I can just patch these up and they'll probably last you 20 years. That's all you got left anyway. I said, you're probably exactly right. So that's what we've been doing. The teeth. When the grinders cease, there's another problem they cause in just a moment, we'll see. But on the way it says, those that look out the windows be darkened. It means your eyesight dims. You can't see without light. And anybody who's my age probably that wears glasses needs a more light to read than you did in years gone by. I sometimes can't go to Walmart or Aldi. I can't read the label. I like to read labels because it tells you how much per pound you're paying, you know, for something. Stuff like that. And I'll get down, I'll say, what does that say? I get closer, you know, and I still can't see it, you know. I need to take my flashlight with me and brighten it up a little bit. And the light, eyes don't see as well as they used to. Verse 4 says, and the doors be shut in the streets when the sound of grinding is low. You can't hear as good as you once could. And I'm very blessed that I'm not hard of hearing. Mr. Pete will tell you what a hardship that is not to be able to hear clearly and how aggravating and expensive hearing aids are. I mean, it's not uncommon to hear today that people pay $10,000 for a set of hearing aids. They're not covered by insurance. They're not covered by Medicare and all that kind of thing. If they do cover it, they only cover a little tiny portion of it. They don't pay for them. And I mean, it's a minimum of about $4,000 to get a decent set of hearing aids. But you'll pay whatever price you have to pay if you can because you want to be able to hear. And the grinding is low. Well, that means there's not a lot of chewing going on because we can't eat like we used to. Can't eat hard things. Can't eat tough things. You have to eat soup and soft foods and things of that nature. The doors are shut. Your lips are shut because your teeth are bad or you can't chew. And because of that, your lips are shut. Verse 4 says, "And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low." In other words, you get old in your sleep, even a bird will wake you up. You can't get the kind of sleep that you need when you get older. It's harder and harder to sleep. And my wife and I go out to the campground sometimes in that motorhome we've got, and the birds start tweeting about 5 o'clock in the morning or a little bit before that. I'm wide awake just as soon as they start. You can hear them like they're in the room with you, you know. That thing doesn't have the 2x4 walls like a house does. And you can hear every sound that it makes. I know what it's like not to get enough sleep. I know what it's like to be able to be woken up by the slightest sound. Even if it's a beautiful girl singing, I'd say turn that down. I'm trying to go to sleep. I don't want to hear that. You know, I can't sleep with that sound. And then they'll be afraid from height, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. That means that when you get old, you worry about falling. That's one of the quickest ways to get hurt when you're up in age, is your legs are unsteady and your feet are not steady and you trip and you fall and you break a hip or you hurt your back or whatever, you fall on your face. I've seen dozens of aged people that have fallen and hit their face and it blacks both their eyes and, you know, messes them up for quite a while and may even have to have sinus surgery as a result of it. And the almond tree shall flourish. That means if you got any hair left when you get old, it's going to be white. It's going to look like the blossoms on the almond tree. And the grasshopper shall be a burden and a desire shall fail. You're going to walk like a grasshopper, hop from one spot to another. You know, you're not going to make any speed. You can't fly like you did. And your desires will fail. You won't have the desire to travel. You won't have the desire to go out to eat a steak. You'd be more than happy if you could just chew a hot dog instead of trying to go out and eat a steak somewhere. Your desires have changed. And sadly for married couples, even the sexual desire can fail because your body is not able to continue with what you could when you were young. Because a man to his long, long home, and the mourners go about the streets. When you die and go to heaven, the mourners will come out and weep over you. I remember this old guy's in the movies. He had two or three sons that were in the movies, and he was in the movies, the old guy. And he got to worry about every movie he was in. He was in a lot of Westerns, and he always played the Undertaker. And he had that stovepipe hat, you know. And he would come out, and he was a little stooped over, you know, and he'd say, "Now, we'll be glad to put you away." And he's doing like this, and his old hands are just all gnarled up with arthritis, you know, and he's doing like this. He'd say, we'll put you away real fine, and we'll guarantee at least two mourners will come and, you know, hire the mourners to come and weep over you, you know. And one show he did that in, it was John Wayne, was one of his last movies. He was supposed to be dying with cancer, supposed to be a real bad guy, and he was talking to him about what he would do for him. He said, "No, I'm not paying you for anything. You're going to pay me because you're going to charge everybody to come look at my body after I'm in your funeral home," you know. So he was pretty sharp about it. "Even the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheels broken at the cistern. Then the dust returned to the earth as it was, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. We go back to the grave and our bodies will deteriorate." Now drop down to verse 13 and 14. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Have the awe and respect for God, for who he is, and for what he's done for us. And recognize that we're going to give an account to God. We're going to stand before him one day. "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment." Believers go to the judgment seat of Christ. Sadly, the unbelievers will go to the great white throne judgment, where they will all be cast into the lake of fire. There's no changing that after death. But we will be saved because, not because we're good or have earned it, but because we're kept by the power of God through faith through Jesus Christ. And to His glory and to His honor, we should fear Him and show the awe of respect and recognize God is who He says He is, and that we will give an accounting unto Him, and we can be saved by grace through faith, live our life in faith, accomplish something by the grace of God, pray and ask God for things, ask Him for health, ask Him for abilities beyond our own, wisdom beyond our years, that we might plan our lives and lead our lives in a way that will honor and glorify Him and accomplish something for Him, as well as take care of us and our family in the meantime. God's able. Solomon was a wise character. It's sad he didn't always live by the wisdom that God gave him. But remember, Solomon lived in a different day than we do. Today in our age, the church age, when a man gets saved, he receives the Spirit of God. We have the completed Word of God. And we can read the Bible, and the Holy Spirit can enlighten us to understand it. And we've got the church as an encouragement and a tool for us to serve in for His honor and glory. So we have so many more benefits today than mankind did in Solomon's day. But Solomon had wisdom above all men. But his weaknesses for things material and for pretty girls, he had 1,000 women that could be considered as wives. And most of them were daughters of kings and princes. And he failed greatly in his spiritual walk because he did not require that they convert to faith in Jehovah God in order for to be married to him. He married many that were idol worshipers and even built them places to continue to worship in their idolatry instead of demanding that those things be removed from his kingdom. And it ended up coming back to bite him in a very great way. So because of Solomon's sins, God promised David that a man would rule the throne forever who would be a descendant of David. And Solomon failed, and his descendants after him failed. The kingdom divided with Solomon's son and was never united again. But there'll be the son of David that will fulfill that prophecy one day, and his name is Jesus Christ. He'll rule and reign upon the throne of David, and he'll be the King of kings and Lord of lords and fulfill that prophecy that God gave in that day. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you all for your study of the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. I hope it's been beneficial to you. It is tough books to just casually read through and get all the meat that's there. It takes a diligent study of them to bring out, and nobody brings it all out. We could go back through right now and start all over on those and come up with things we didn't even think about when we went through there the first time. But always we're limited by our time and that clock back there, so we can only go so far in our deepness of studies. But I hope it's been a help to you and a blessing to you. I'm not sure what I'll do next for the midweek prayer service, but we'll always remember to pray and ask God's help on behalf of His church, His nation, our needs, and the folks with sickness and hardship in their lives. I told you in my email, many of you get that a man called me and asked help. He was living in a bus. And it was an old, wore-out school bus with a diesel motor in it. He parked it out here at the truck stop, and he had a wife and 3 kids in it and a dog. And he left the motor running too long at night trying to keep the heat on for the kids and ran it out of diesel fuel. And he didn't have any money. And so I went over and got him some diesel fuel with the church credit card. Two and a half gallon can, filled it up twice. Got him a funnel. He didn't have a funnel where he could put the fuel in the tank. And then he cranked it and cranked it and cranked it, and it wouldn't crank. It wouldn't pick up. So he called me back the next day and said that I gave him $40 cash. I said, I can't spend any more time with you now. Here's 40 bucks. Help you if you get it running, you can get some fuel. And so I left him. And he called me back the next day and said he had somebody coming that wanted $50 to crank it for him to get the diesel fuel running through it. And he didn't have any money. He had to spend the $40 I gave him for food for his family. So I went over and I gave him the $50 and I gave him a little more. Now I'm talking about me giving this now. I didn't spend the church's money like that. I spent just the $26, I think it was, for the church and another $10 on the credit card for the diesel fuel. But I gave him, I think, $115 or something like that. But these people were in rags. Three kids, looked like about 4 and 6 and 9, and it looked like not a one of them ever had a haircut. Their hair was grown out and woolly looking, and their clothes had holes in them. They weren't filthy dirty, but it just broke my heart. I talked to the guy. He's got no ambition about finding a job whatsoever. He got kicked out of a couple of places. He was renting a house or something. And so he thought he could live in that bus, and that way couldn't anybody take it away from him. But he's not providing for his family. If the wrong people see him, DSS is going to take those kids away from him. You can't live out there in 30-degree weather in that old bus if you don't have the motor running and heat on and that kind of thing, you know. And I wouldn't want to be involved in that, and I wouldn't want to hurt the man in any way. I witnessed to him. He claimed to be saved. But you just wonder what goes through some people's minds. He wants peace work. Find a little bit of work over here and a little bit of work over there. And you can't survive that way. You can't feed your family and care for your family properly that way. He needs a full-time, real job, you know. And if he had one, maybe somebody would help him a little more to try to get a place to live and things like that. But pray for them. God can work on him far better than I can and counsel him in his hardship to maybe, you know, make some changes in his thinking. So please remember them too as we dismiss in prayer. Gary, how about dismiss us, please?
Provide their needs, Lord. We thank you that Pastor has the kind of heart that wants to help people like this. I pray now, Lord, you be with this country right now as it's going through difficult times with all the different economy and the border and everything that's going on, Lord. Pray that you give the people in charge direction and wisdom about how to handle all these things. I pray now, Lord, that you be with us as we go our separate ways, keep us safe, bless the services on Sunday. Lord, may you be honored and glorified in everything we do and say. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.